The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Well, it's always a pleasure to invite Rolien to the show, but today no small talk because there is so much happening, especially with the breaking news of Israeli spies allegedly arrested for spying on Iran. Rolien, welcome.
Good afternoon. A massive breaking within the last hour or so, and that is a Shin Bet. That is, our internal security services have arrested five Jewish Israelis. They say assisted an Iranian operative to gather intelligence and make connections in Israel. They say some of the five were paid for the information that they provided, and that the operative that get them in was working for the Iranian regime. And apparently one of the methodologies that he used was saying, you know, his camera is not working. So, you know, don't fall for this trick, ladies and gentlemen. If somebody pulls that one on you, hang up straight away. But this is pretty serious. We know from information leaked by the Shin Bet that at least four women and one man are all either Jewish immigrants from Iran or the descendants of Iranian immigrants. Of course, their names are not going to be made public because there is a court-issued gag order on this. As you can well imagine, it's very, very sensitive information. But according to the Shin Bet, or the Shabak as we call them here, the suspects took photographs of strategically significant sites in Israel. One of them included the U.S. consulate in Tel Aviv, and tried to form relationships with politicians, tried to get information about security arrangements, tried to, you know, gather other kinds of intelligence, all for the exchange of money. We know that one operative, this is from the Iranian side, went by the name of Rambod Namdar. He pretended to be Jewish to try and convince one of the suspect's sons to improve his knowledge of Farsi, which is Persian language, and to join a military intelligence unit. Some of the suspects apparently have acknowledged that they were aware that Namdar may have been an Iranian intelligence operative, but they still continued to talk to him. And the spokesperson, or the senior Shin Bet official, says, with their grave actions, those involved put themselves, their families, and innocent Israelis at risk as the information was transferred to Iranian intelligence, in addition to the information that was given about Israeli sites and American sites in Israel, which could be used for terrorist purposes. And the five were indicted in a Jerusalem court today. But this is really, really serious. You know, we are engaged at the moment in a standoff with the Iranian regime. We know that some of the tactics employed by the Iranians have been either to engage in cyber warfare or to use their proxy, Hamas, Hezbollah, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and others to engage in terror action against Israel. Of course, this is all taking place on the background of the Vienna talks about whether or not there will be a new treaty, or there will be sanctions, or we will have to engage in some kind of more serious option. But this is where we are, a massive story breaking in Israel within the last hour.
So a couple of things that I need to point out here. It's always bizarre to hear of human intelligence still being used. In other words, the old-fashioned form of spying, especially in this digital age with cyber. And I suppose we have to go back to the roots of intelligence because of the monitoring capabilities that are now available within the cyber and digital sphere. So it's understandable that a lot of agencies are reverting back to the old humans, as we refer to it. But what came as a surprise to me is that when this news broke earlier, there was a little bit of confusion. We actually thought that Israelis had been arrested for spying on the Iranians because it said Jewish spies. So it's clearly a confusing issue when you've got people of Jewish descent who are now Israelis that are actually spying on their own country for Iran. So just to clarify, it's Israelis or of Jewish origin that were arrested for spying on behalf of Iran against Israel.
I'm going to confuse you even more. It's Jews of Iranian extraction in Israel that have been arrested for spying. So they're not Israelis born and bred. They are Jewish, but they've either immigrated from Iran to Israel, or they are the descendants or children of Iranian immigrants.
Absolutely.
So there is that strong tie to Iran.
Incredible story. And the fact that human intelligence on the ground is still being used makes it all the more bizarre. Thank you for that breaking news, Rolene. It's a very important story, and I'm sure you're now going to be chatting more about it tomorrow. Let's chat now about some of the other stories in Israeli news. Tree planting in the Negev has resumed after protests. What were those protests about?
So this is quite a controversial story, and there have been some updates within the afternoon. We know that the tree planting has been stopped. We know that an agreement brokered by Yesh Atid Minister Meir Cohen resulted in tree planting stopped. So just to put this into perspective, the JNF or Kakal, as it's known here in Israel, started a reforestation project in the Negev Desert. This resulted last night in a very, very violent protest from Bedouins who clashed with police. We know that 11 people today were arrested last night, about 18, for violent clashes with the police. In some cases, fires were seen. Yesterday, a delegation of Likud and more right-wing politicians coming to the area to plant trees. Now, there is a political slant to this because the Likud and the more right-wing parties are part of the coalition. It is in their interest for the coalition to fall apart. It is quite fragile, and we almost got to that point. Ra'am, the Islamist party in the coalition, wanted the tree planting to stop. The Bedouins say that these areas encroach on their land, bearing in mind Bedouin are nomadic. But we do have a situation where, thank goodness, an agreement has been reached, and we do have a tacit calm at the moment.
All right. And moving on, of course, COVID is still in the news, and I believe that they've opened a kids' ward for children that test positive with Omicron.
Well, this is pretty serious. So the numbers are going up, and the doctors in Israel have warned parents not to be flippant about this, because even though the illness might be mild, and I'm quoting from the doctors, there is still the threat of long COVID. And now we've just had a statement from a health official literally within the last minute or so that a COVID vaccine for Israeli babies and toddlers can be expected by April and would make all Israelis over 6 months old be eligible for vaccines. And they are waiting on the results of a trial, a Pfizer, which have already indicated that shots are safe for under five. But Sheba Medical Center, one of our premier hospitals, opening a corona ward specifically for children with the Omicron variant, equipped with classes so that they don't miss out with schools and clowns to keep the children entertained and also to calm their fears. Yesterday, before we went off air, I spoke to you about a press conference with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, and no big statements were made. You can all rest assured your ticket to Israel, that the skies are remaining open. We are keeping our economy open. We're hoping to revive our battered tourism industry by allowing for the tourists to come in. And just a little bit of an update on our vax situation. Over 400,000 people who are eligible for the fourth vaccine, that is over 60s, healthcare workers and the immunocompromised, have received their fourth vaccine.
Well, that's great news. We had Professor Puren from the South African National Institute of Communicable Diseases on earlier, and it seems like we haven't really got momentum going yet in South Africa with respect to the third booster shot. You guys are already on your fourth, and so many people have taken it. At least your people are taking it exceptionally seriously as citizens of Israel, where our people, citizens of South Africa, are not taking it as seriously, and we're seeing a lot of hesitancy in respect of that. Moving on, Indonesia, of all countries, one of the biggest Muslim countries in the world, and Israel is using agriculture to play a role in helping with relations with Indonesia. This is a fascinating story for sure.
It is a fascinating story because, as you so correctly said, Indonesia is the most populous Muslim country in the world. And Israel and Indonesia at the moment don't have formal bilateral ties. And we have heard murmurings that there could be some kind of rapprochement, there could be some kind of warming of ties. We know that the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, was in Jakarta recently to talk about the potential of normalization. He did warn that this could take time, but it looks like agriculture and the possibility of agricultural cooperation is the culprit responsible for bringing the two countries together. You know, Israel is a leader in so many spheres of farming. Anyone who's listening and is familiar with agriculture will know about Israel's record in African continent. Very similar conditions to what we experience with our farmers here, but our technology, our know-how is very, very attractive to the Indonesians, and they're looking forward, or they're looking at ways that we can grow cooperation. Now, we have had military cooperation in the past, in the 70s and in the 80s, Indonesia bought arms from Israel, and Indonesian soldiers have trained in Israel, but no formal ties as of yet, but hopefully soon. And we can't forget that we're still in talks to normalize with the Maldives and the Comores. So definitely, despite what some people would have you believe, the world is opening up more and more to Israel and doing business with the Israelis. So I know some people will say, what about BDS and their effect? BDS are having no effect on Israel, on our diaspora communities, yes, but definitely not on the economy of the state of Israel.
And in our final story of the day, which we've got a minute to chat about, an attacker in a New York hate crime has been arrested. Can you give us some more information?
Yes, I brought you the story about 2 weeks ago about 21-year-old Blake Zawadzki wearing his RDF sweatshirt outside a Foot Locker store in Brooklyn when he was punched in the face and called a dirty Jew. Well, the NYPD have arrested a suspect. He's 27-year-old Suleiman Osman from Staten Island. They arrested him and will charge him with a hate crime. So there is a suspect who has been picked up. He was previously picked up in July 2020. For what they call a menacing charge. And also in 2010, he apparently has 7 prior arrests for menacing, assault, robbery, and endangering the welfare of a child, all dating back to 2010.
Rolene, thank you so much for the updates. I look forward to our chat tomorrow, same time, same place.
Same time, same place.